Welcome to the Special Ed Strategist. I'm your host, Wendy Taylor, your go-to special education strategist here to help you strategize student support. Today, we're diving into Section 504's continuing on this path of solo episodes, talking about 504, which is an invaluable tool for ensuring that all students receive the support they need in school. Whether you're a parent navigating this process for the first time or a professional looking to deepen your understanding, I promise you'll walk away with insights and tips that you won't find in a typical training or online searches. So let's get started. To recap, if you haven't been following our solo episodes about 504, let's begin by unpacking what a 504 plan actually is. So Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 ensures that students with disabilities have equal access to education. Unlike an individualized education program, an IEP, which is tailored for specific educational needs, a 504 focuses on providing accommodations to help students access the general education curriculum. So what might these accommodations look like? Let's see. They can include things like extended time on test, preferential seating. Side note, preferential seating does not always mean next to the teacher, really depends on the student's needs, or assistive technology that is tailored to that individual kiddo's learning needs and objectives. Now we're going to talk about the importance of collaboration and a 504 plan process. So parents and educators, this is your chance to work together to create a support system that truly benefits the kiddos. It's not just about filling out forms. It is about building a community around your kiddo and the kiddo that you're supporting. So I encourage you to think about this as this partnership. Invite your kiddo's teacher and any relevant support staff to any informal coffee chat, get together, email, online, whatever it may be, to discuss how things are going in the classroom. And this is going to set the tone for ongoing communication. So as a parent, you really want to make sure you're reflecting on the needs of your student, who your student is as a learner, and then communicating and collaborating with the rest of the team to ensure that everything aligns, and where it doesn't, that you're actually putting in active supportive measures that will engage that student for future learning. As a parent, I want you to ask the educators, what has been most successful strategy for my kiddo's learning in the past? What have you've done in the classroom? And it could be specials, it could be hallway. What has worked really well for this student? Because understanding what has worked previously can give you that valuable insight into effective accommodations. Equally as important of what is not working, what is tried and did not work. So having that communication and that conversation of what have we done in the past, or even asking if in the past when you've had students to a similar profile, what has worked best, so that you can then really start to hone in and individualize the approach for this particular student. I also want you to think about how can we uncover hidden supports, right? So let's uncover hidden supports that can enhance that 504 plan. One creative approach is to incorporate sensory breaks into the school day. These breaks allow our kiddos to decompress, recharge, which can be especially beneficial for those students with attention and anxiety concerns. I want to encourage teachers to design maybe a sensory corner in the classroom where the students can take a short break, use tools like stress balls, fidget spinners, even calming visuals. Those have had great responses for students and even parents alike to have those in your home so that a student can see the transition between home and school. As a parent, I want you to inquire about the school's policy on sensory breaks. So how can we implement sensory breaks effectively that are not going to disrupt our learning environment? So that's going to help you advocate for those structured breaks that support your kiddos' needs within the parameters of what the school suggests and what they have already in place. And that way, again, you are meeting your students' needs and you're thinking of ways that that may help that student if they need those sensory breaks. I want you also to explore innovative tools. So in today's digital age, Leveraging innovation and innovative tools can make such a significant difference when implementing a 504 plan. So instead of relying on commonly used tools like speech-to-text application, which some students really are able to access and benefit from, maybe consider the power of interactive educational platforms that can really provide maybe an immersive learning experience that can help engage a student in a unique way. Imagine your kiddo being able to explore learning of, say, the solar system and bringing those lessons to life right in front of the classroom. There are so many creative ways to use technology, whether, again, it is speech to text or applications that may work best that are on a device or can be put on a Chromebook or an extension that can really blossom for a student and help them have easier access to the curriculum. I want teachers to think about, you know, some augmentative reality resources that may line up with the curriculum. Those tools can foster engagement and help students visualize the complex concepts in a fun and interactive way. And as a parent, you can always ask, what creative resources or tools do you have access to that we can provide my kiddo for their learning goals? So the question is really going to open the door for discussions about innovative strategies and resources available in the classroom. And of course, as we're implementing a 504, we really want that continuous monitoring and feedback. So once a 504 plan is established, continuous monitoring is key to ensure that success. So regular check-ins between a parent and teacher can make a significant impact on your kiddo's progress. Perhaps create a shared progress tracker, some kind of document where parents and teachers can log updates, successes, and even challenges so that everyone can see the big picture and adapt strategies as needed. And then as a parent, you can always ask, how often will we review and update the 504 plan? So you have a timeline for regular reviews, ensuring that the plan remains relevant and is effective as your child grows. And as with anything, if you have questions, parents, reach out and ask either the 504 coordinator, the guidance counselor, the classroom teacher. And when you do that, include everybody so everybody can see what that dialogue looks like and the needs are for that student. As we wrap up, I want you to remember that advocacy is a crucial part of navigating that 504 plan. Both parents and educators play a vital role in ensuring that students with disabilities receive the support that they need. So I want you to encourage parents, so professionals, teachers, I want you to encourage those parents to connect with local advocacy groups for workshops and training, even online parent groups, whether it's a Facebook group or something local. Engaging with these communities can provide you with the tools to advocate more effectively. And that way you're also having a communication with other folks, either in your community specifically or at large, that may have gone through similar situations so that you can then kind of bounce ideas off and see what has worked and what has not worked, and then bring that back to the team at your local school. And you want to make sure to ask, you know, what are your rights regarding your child's education and support services? Investigate those rights so that that foundational question can empower you as a parent to understand your role and to better advocate for your kiddo's needs. To wrap all this up, we've definitely explored some ins and outs of navigating that 504 plan, from understanding its purpose to implementing those creative strategies. And I always encourage, think outside the box, ask the questions so that we really can make sure that the plan that's being created makes sense for that individual. And again, modify as needed. So the journey certainly doesn't stop here at the end of this podcast. So I want to encourage you to stay engaged, ask those questions, and keep advocating for the support that your kiddo deserves. So thanks again for joining me on the Special Ed Strategist. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, share it with a fellow parent and educator. Until next time, keep strategizing, keep learning, and keep empowering our students. Bye for now.